The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
We're going to put on beautiful sports talk, and if we do, we'll break down things Vegas style like we always do. But there's a lot going on. Knicks play last night. It's so funny. I'm on Twitter last night, and I was in and out of the game. Like, I wasn't exclusively focused on this game, but I watched a little bit of it, a bunch of it, I'd say, more than half. And I said, Toppin is the real deal. Toppin is going to be a big-time player. Can we please? I mean, listen, I take nothing negative away from what he was. It was preseason game one. Can we please pump the brakes a little bit? Yeah, he's athletic. We knew he was going to be athletic. Maybe the Knicks will be better. But I'm not going to sit here and define that from one preseason game. So we'll get into the Knicks a little bit later. Kyrie Irving, and I don't even know what to say at this point. Like, he makes himself. And this is all because the thing with Kyrie, he's a bright guy. He's an intelligent guy. And some of the times he just does stuff that you're like, what are you doing? Like, he takes shots at LeBron James and he's upset that people took this out of context. No, that's not what happened. And now he won't speak to the media? It's petulant. It's childish. I could almost see it if he was 22 and didn't know better. He's been in the league for a decade. He's a baby. All right, the Nets could use all the promotion that they can get. They are and always will be. And we don't need to go here, but you know what I'm going to say. And for Kyrie to pull this stunt, it's embarrassing. And honestly, if the owner or the GM or the head coach don't say anything, it's embarrassing on them as well. You play for me. You're Josiah. You play for me, okay? And part of your obligation and part of your requirement, and I'm not asking you to have media members in your home and do Mike Wallace 60-minute style interviews, but for 10 minutes after the game, you can't answer questions? You can't. What happened on the pick and roll with 3 minutes to go that gave you guys a lead by a point? You can't answer those questions? You know, I'll tell you what. You become more unlikable the more you open your mouth and the more you do these kind of things. You know, Kyrie Irving has gone from, I thought, one of the more likable players to a guy that you just kind of shake your head at. So we'll get into that a little bit later on as well. But do you realize where we are? Do you realize where, guys, we've walked up to? Oh, just the Giants with a sensational win last week. And I have Ty 2 weeks ago. We'll bring in Ty at 9:15 and say good morning and salutations and all those things. But 2 weeks ago, he's hopping out. Oh, I don't think Joe Judge is the answer, Dave. I think you guys are all premature in your excitement for Joe Judge. Joe Judge has now won 4 games in a row, has changed the culture, and has made this team a fun, functional club down the stretch of his first season. I would love to hear if Ty can have that same negativity surrounding the Giants. Oh, you've beaten no one. You went into Seattle, and granted, going into anywhere does not have the same claim that it normally does. You go into Seattle normally any other year, that's an unbelievable win. Like, one of the great wins you could possibly have. Still a great win last week. A little bit taken away because it's not Seattle. But still, you go into Seattle and you beat Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. And then you hear the excuses. Well, they didn't take the Giants seriously enough. I don't want to hear the excuses. The Giants went in there and from beginning to end confused and really were the better team throughout that game. And once they realize, you know, we can just take the football and run it down their throats and there's very little of anything that they can do to stop us, the Giants took over that game. They took over that game, and Colt McCoy did just enough. Now, I'm told, and you can take this for what it's worth. You say, well, Rothenberg, you're not a beat reporter. That's fine. I'm told 95% chance that Daniel Jones plays tomorrow. The expectation is that Daniel Jones will play tomorrow. So now you've won 4 in a row. You're playing terrific football. You go up against a team that's been scuffling. I mean, how could you not feel great about the Giants right now? How can you not? This is you say what you want. They're 5-7, and there's still the naysayers. Well, they're 5-7, and you are. Your record says you are. Okay. You're also sitting here in first place, tied with Washington. Now, it was disappointing. As great as it was on Sunday to watch the Giants go into Seattle and win that game, and it was, you know, unbelievable. Like, I felt alive. It was the first time I've watched the Giants in, I'll be honest with you, 4 years, probably since the Packers game, that I felt alive. I remember watching last year, I think, was it opening week? when the Giants went right down the field and Barkley scored a touchdown and you thought to yourself, boy, they look good. But throughout a game, for the entirety of a game where you watch from beginning to end and thought to yourself, this is a real game, this is a real team, this is a real club right now, it's been years. Like, I even watched the Giants earlier this year, weeks, whatever, you know, against the Bears, against the Rams, against Washington, and I went through the motions. Like, I cared, but not the same. Not the same excitement that you normally would have had. Like, I remember the days of even 81, of Ray Perkins, right, who sadly passed away this week. But when it started to change, I remember that year. I remember that Cowboys game, week 16 of the season, where Joe DiNello kicked the winning field goal and the Giants go to the postseason. I remember that. I remember 84. I remember 85. I distinctly remember watching the Giants. You know, 4 years ago, 2016, 2011, most of the Coughlin era. I remember watching it and thinking to myself, I'm so invested. You're so alive watching the Giants. It's been dead. It has been dormant. And I know a lot of people say, well, Gettleman has brought him back. Yeah, I don't know about that. I think I give the credit to Joe Judge. I think it's too coincidental for me. Listen, this is the third year of Gettleman. Year one, his draft was just not good, right? I still will never agree with Barkley too. Will Hernandez has not been what you thought he'd be. Lorenzo Carter is not what you thought he'd be. B.J. Hill, Kyle Oletta, R.J. McIntosh, right? Disappointing. Year two of his draft in free agency, I think disappointing. I mean, Jones looks like he's going to be good, but he should be good at six. Lawrence is good, but he should be good at 17. Baker is gone, and then the list goes on and on of guys that disappointed outside of Slayton, who, by the way, and I like Darius Slayton, and it's not a knock on him, is not a star receiver. He's a good receiver. He's a two or a three on a very good football team. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, magically, Joe Judge comes on board, and free agency, which has been a struggle for Dave Gettleman, becomes brilliant, and the draft, which has been pedestrian at best for Dave Gettleman, becomes brilliant. I don't know. It seems a little fishy to me. It feels to me like Joe Judge has his fingerprints all over this team. They're not a bad football team at all. So strap on, because you have four vital football games. Giants have Arizona, have Cleveland, have Baltimore, and have Dallas. You go 2-2 in the last four, and I think you win the division. You go 3-1 in the last four. 3-1. Big boy pants. Get it done. No way Washington goes 4-0. And I'll tell you what. If you go 3-1 and Washington goes 4-0, as disappointed as I'd be, you take your hat off and you say, you know what? You won your last five games down the stretch, including beating Pittsburgh. God bless you. Won't happen. So the Giants are in great position. And away we go. New York Giants football. December 12th of 2020, which has been a year that we will never forget and has been as bad as anything we've ever seen. But right now, as we sit here, this team is relevant. And I'd even go on the flip side. If you're Seattle, you want to come here in the postseason? If you're Tampa and Tom Brady, who was outplayed here on Monday night, you want to come here in the postseason? And if Daniel Jones doesn't turn the ball over multiple times in that game, Giants win. If Daniel Jones plays well tomorrow, they win this game. Because I think we're at the point where the Giants defense is good. And you can't argue about it. Leonard Williams, and listen, I didn't like the trade. I can't believe you gave that up. Then you let Landon Collins walk. Like, the whole thing didn't make any sense to me. But I will say this. Leonard Williams is playing at an all-pro caliber level. Not Pro Bowl, all pro caliber level. Giants defense. I think you go into every single game now with the Giants defense saying, I have complete confidence in that. Offensive line, much better. Running game, much better. So what's the X factor? Health and ball security of Daniel Jones. I will tell you this. If Daniel Jones plays well down the stretch and does not turn the football over, this is your division champion. And listen. There's a lot on the line here. Because if he goes out there and lays an egg over the final four games and just looks awful, you'll have two things that'll happen. One will be, well, the hamstring wasn't right and he should have been playing. And two is, do we really have our quarterback of the future? We can have a lot of questions answered. We can have so many questions answered that you look at the Giants as one of the better teams in the NFL heading into next year. Or you can take a step back and say, I don't know if Jones is the answer. Regardless of any of the questions that I pose to you right now, December 12th, 2020, the New York Giants are incredibly relevant. Who would have thought that this year?
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
I know the Giants getting three in this game tomorrow. One of the great conundrums in gambling that we have today. This is the time, and we bring him in. I'm a little disappointed in him, but I think he can make some headway to get back into my good graces, and that is one Ty D. Butler. You may know him from the Newhouse School of Communications. Good morning, Ty. How are you?
I think we have to get rid of that introduction and change it, because what you're going to do is, and it's actually in progress, you're going to have people think that that's how I want to be introduced. Like, I'm just so self-serving.
When I met you, that was what your signature said on your ESPN emails.
But, I mean, we're, almost 4 years removed from that? I've learned from the error of my ways and how the perception, how that can look. So I think we got to change the introduction.
Really?
Yeah. We should come up with a different one.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe when you eat the spicy food and pay off the debt, I will eliminate calling you Ty D. Butler Newhouse.
That's fair. Because I will say, you brought up in the open how I was hesitant to, anoint Joe Judge as
By the way, I hate to interrupt, was you talk about the great opens we've seen in radio history. That, I think, without question,
Don't break your arm patting that fat back of yours, Mr.
See?
David Rothenberg.
You talk about the past. I was a fat man. No longer am I a fat man, but you continue to go there. Maybe if we eliminate the Newhouse School of Communications, you eliminate calling me fat.
I haven't seen you in a while. So, well, I mean,
last time you saw me, was I fat?
I mean, you were getting
last
a little
time
heavier.
I saw you, was I fat?
No, you were not.
Okay, and there you go.
So I actually had someone tweet at me a few weeks ago. And it was the day that we were talking about Joe Judge. And like I said, I was hesitant to call him this great coach. And he said, he's like, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, I bet you if he graduated from the Newhouse School of Communications, you'd think he's a great coach. So now you've completely tainted my image. You've impugned my, or you've had people impugning my reputation. So
I don't think your reputation is impugned.
Yeah.
You're made fun of, and rightfully so.
But it's only because you're spearheading this. It's not me.
If I didn't do it, no one would know that you had this obnoxious handle on your emails.
People don't need to know that, though. I don't think they're clamoring to know that.
Here's the question for the poll today. Do you want to be brought behind the scenes of 98.7, or do you just want to be on the outside looking in?
No, come on. Yeah. I think we can do better than that.
I think it's a great
And you're
question.
Spoiling my good mood. I came in and we talked before the show, and I said I'm excited. I'm in
you were in
a dynamite
mood
today.
Before the show.
Yes, absolutely.
Dynamite.
I was reunited with my better half last night. The National Basketball Association.
Oh, because preseason basketball moves the needle for you?
It's not about moving the needle. It's, dipping your toe in the water. We're getting closer. What are we, 10 days away from the tip-off? Opening night.
10 days away from the tip-off. That is correct. Does it not feel like the NBA ended like 10 days ago?
It does.
I can't believe it's back already. It almost feels premature.
But premature. Stop it. Come on. Don't come on. Stop it.
Well, not for the Knicks, because you haven't seen the Knicks forever. But for the rest of the NBA, like, I just saw the Lakers.
You got to see them.
Saw the Lakers.
But you haven't seen this iteration of the Lakers. Wesley Matthews, Montrezl Harrell.
Oh, yeah. No, Dennis Schroeder. I've never been more excited to watch the Lakers.
I mean,
really.
That's a deep team right there.
I'm excited to watch the Knicks. I'm excited to see how this thing plays out in Brooklyn. Listen, I'm anticipating the NBA season. But to say that I need to watch the Lakers play and I want to break down their new acquisitions, that would be untrue.
Well, listen, your football team is in the midst of a playoff run. The playoffs have already started for the Giants. So that's why you can't really devote attention to other things.
That's right.
You're not going to sit there and, break down Knicks Pistons from last night. Knicks won the game, so congrats to them finally winning a game. But I get it. You're into the Giants.
Don't belittle the Knicks fan.
You're a 21-22 win team. I mean, that's not...
I think they could push things towards 30.
push things towards
30. I think they could push things towards 30. I'm not going to let you sit here and admonish my,
massive expectations you have going into this season. They can push toward 30. We should make a bet, though. We should come up with...
Can we pay off the debts that are owed before we start
Speaking of debts,
I still owe you the lunch.
You do.
You still owe me the spicy food. Can we please... Right? Like, you're in arrears to me now, and the same me to you. I don't think we should start with new wagers.
That's true. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I don't think the Knicks are going to win.
Also, by the way, you might have a gambling problem.
No, I just gamble with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't gamble on NFL games.
So I got you off track. You started this segment. I said hello and made fun of you with Newhouse and all that, which is what we do. And then you started to say, you know, with Joe Judge. Finish that thought. I'd like to hear you walk it back and apologize or change your view and opinion of these Giants.
All right, so two things. One, I tweeted at Ty D. Butler last Sunday. I said Dave Rothenberg is going to be unbearable this week. And your cult, it just destroyed me in my mentions. Oh, you're, of course you say this now. You were so wrong.
Do I have a cult?
You do. Dave Rothenberg Saturday cult. And then I text you. What did I text you? The next day and congratulating you. I said, solid win yesterday. It's the first real win of the season.
See, because you got to make sure to bring it down.
Look, I can't take any credit away from Joe Judge. He's been exceptional. Maybe I'm wrong on him. I think when I had the opinion of him a couple of weeks ago, it was fair and still accurate. I didn't say he was bad. I just said I can't prematurely give him this title of being a great head coach.
Well, I'm not going to give him a title of being a great head coach either, but let me ask you this. Are they improving as the year goes on?
Oh, and I never denied that. Yes, they have been improving.
Are they now beating teams that you thought was really, for lack of a better term, an impossibility just weeks ago?
So let's not say teams because that's plural. It was one win against the Seahawks.
Was it a great win?
Absolutely.
You watch the NFL closely, I would say, yes?
Of course.
Would you say you've ever seen Russell Wilson look more confused than he did in that game last week?
I would say the first half of the playoff game against the Packers, I want to say 2015, 2016, threw like three interceptions. That was the game, the Brandon Bostic game.
Where they came back to win.
In the first half, he looked lost. So, yes, there are some games on his resume where he's...
Let me ask the question again. Have there been full games?
No.
From 0 to 60, where you have seen the great Russell Wilson look more lost than you did this past week.
Russell Wilson, who, by the way, a couple of weeks ago was in the MVP conversation. So, no. I mean, to answer your question, no. It was a great performance by your defense. I can't take any credit away. It was a great win. The first actual win of the season.
And that's all I don't like the little underhanded, snide comments, but I'll take what I can get from someone like you. 800-919-3776. You would think that the Giants fan would be in Nirvana today and very excited for the game tomorrow, yes?
I would assume that, of course.
Yeah. I mean, if you were, I understand that wins are something that you can't really fathom as a Jets fan, but if you were a Giants fan, you'd be very excited right now.
Well, here's what I don't understand. You're on such a high. It's like euphoria. Your team's 5-7. Good. You feel like they've won the Super Bowl.
Feels great.
The fact that you're punching down to it. Why do you have to bring the Jets into this?
I don't. I just chose to at that moment because you do that as well. But here's what I want this from you, and then I want to get to some calls. Carr drops back for maybe one of the dumbest reasons in the history of the NFL. The Jets all out blitz him in that moment. Henry Ruggs breaks free. The ball is thrown, and it is caught. Your reaction immediately is, yes,
no.
We stay winless, or no. I cannot believe it, and I am incensed.
I was so disgusted by all the people on Twitter who were celebrating and waving their pom-poms because the Jets lost. You could argue it was one of the worst losses in franchise history. Like, circumstance, like, ignore pursuit of 0-16, the fan base rooting for it. Just take the game in itself, how they lost. It's one of the worst losses in franchise history.
So, and I agree with you. If I was you and I was a Jets fan, I would have a million times preferred the last drive where they failed on the fourth down.
Absolutely.
Convert there. Lose the game organically, you played well, they came down, they scored, fine. To lose in fashion that will be remembered for the next 50 years, it's just, it's an embarrassment.
Yeah, it was like one of the lead stories. It's pathetic. And it was so bad that you had people questioning if the Jets were throwing the game.
They weren't throwing the game.
They obviously weren't. But the fact
that's how inept they are. The Jets, and it's a great point, the Jets are so inept. They are inept to the point that there's real conversation about did they lose the game on purpose. Teams are not that inept. The last time I ever remember that, ever, was when the Giants, who were in a position to take a knee and end the game against the Eagles in, I think it was 78, decided to hand the football off on like a counterplay, fumble, pick up by Herman Edwards, and he takes it back for a touchdown. That's 40 years ago.
What a miracle.
These are iconic moments in the NFL. And you know what the Giants did the next day? They fired their offensive coordinator. And you know what the Jets did the next day? They fired their defensive
coordinator. People were asking if this was Greg Williams, who had, you know, he had had enough, so he threw the game. That's how embarrassing it is.
I mean, it could not. And I say this sincerely. It could not be worse to be a Jets fan right now.
No.
Now, I will say this. The future has some bright looks. I don't know what they'll do with it, but you might like Joe Douglas. You love the fact you're going to have three picks in the top 33 this coming year. You have two first-round picks again next year. You're going to get a quarterback that most people think is a generational talent. You have a left tackle who's a stud. So there are pieces that are either in place or you see falling into place. But right now, oh, what a disaster, huh?
No, if you think that simply drafting Trevor Lawrence, who, you know, for all intents and purposes, probably going to be a star. If you think that simply drafting him is going to fix this mess, congratulations, you played yourself.
And I don't think, and we'll see what happens, and I certainly could be wrong, and hope to be honest with you. I don't know that Lawrence to the Jets is a foregone conclusion. I don't think this is as simple as a lot of people seem to think it is, that this guy just wants to come to this organization.
Maybe he doesn't want to come, but he will. It's
maybe
too much of a risk if you stay in college.
Maybe he plays an Eli Manning and says, I'm not going there.
You don't want to play an Eli Manning. I mean, that's
listen, well, Eli, you don't want to go to the Chargers. They're the laughingstock of the NFL. They are as poorly run as any team in football. You know what? You think the Jets are far off from that right now?
No. And look, I'll just say this as a Jets fan. I would not even be mad at him if he did that. Because why would you want to come? You just saw what happened to Sam Darnold, a guy like in a similar position to yours. Comes out of college, you know, highly touted for this organization, and now he looks like a bust. Maybe he's not,
I'll
but
tell you,
he looks
I'll tell
like
you
a
why
bust.
It's going to be different, because Sam Darnold came into Todd Bowles and Adam Gase, and I'm assuming that it's going to be different now. I'm assuming that Trevor Lawrence is going to go to a functional,
a hefty
wise
assumption.
Offensive mind.
Hefty
I'm assuming.
Assumption.
Maybe I'm wrong.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
The music has been on point today. Really doing a wonderful job. Last week you were playing horrendous music, and this week you've bounced back with a fervor. I mean, just red hot, scalding hot. I feel very good about you in that.
You just had one of the most embarrassing moments of your career.
I did?
Yes. You said Jay-Z's music was whatever you played, it was
not good.
We're talking about one of the
that specific selection that you had was not good. By the way, a little disappointed in you. We'll get to the calls in a moment. 800-919-3776. We're imploring the Giants fan to call because of the magnitude of the game tomorrow and where they are this season. A little disappointed in you, by the way.
What did I do?
I mean, monumental career news for me.
Oh, yes.
And not a mention, not a Dave, this is great, so proud of you.
No.
I can say I knew you when.
Okay.
I mean, nothing.
So what you're falling into is a trap that is, if you don't have a picture of it and post it anywhere, it didn't happen.
Or say it. Or like when you come on the air today at some point.
No, I said it to you off the air. I texted
it's two different things.
See?
There's off the air and there's on the air. How would Steve in Westchester know that you said it to me off the air?
Steve in Westchester doesn't have to know that I said it to
Steve
you off
needs
the air.
To know. How does Brian and Hawthorne know that you said it to me off the air?
I don't think Brian and Hawthorne really cares about that. I said it to you off the air. I texted
you. I'm gonna
it to you last Saturday.
I'm going to sit back. Put my feet up, and I'm gonna let you take the reins for 18 to 22 seconds. Go ahead, tell everyone.
Dave Rothenberg,
yeah,
might be. I don't want to ruffle any feathers here, but might be the most talented host here at the station.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last couple of days or so, we learned that he is being promoted to morning drive.
Not just me, Rick and Chris as well.
Can I get there?
Yeah, please.
He's being promoted to morning drive, and he would not have gotten there without the likes of the talented Rick DiPietro and the ultra-talented Chris Canty. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to you. What we know about radio is there are two, I would say the hierarchy, afternoon drive and morning drive are right at the top, mm-hmm. and then everything else. No offense, but that's just accurate.
Job, of course.
So for you to get this promotion, well-deserved, congratulations. I'm so proud of you, my friend. How's that?
That was very sweet. Like, I can't even dissect that because that was very well done and very well played, and I thank you, and
we are very
excited.
Which, by the way, I did off the air, but sure, we can pretend that it means more if it's done on the air.
It means more when it's on the air. Now, do you know when, in fact, and you might not know, and that's fine, I'll correct you if you don't, when, in fact, this big change takes place?
January 4th.
Oh, you know, see, you're so on the ball. January 4th, when the Giants beat the Cowboys to clinch the division just hours earlier at 5 o'clock the next morning, DCR... AM drive.
So you could not even have painted this anymore.
No.
You could argue that the station did this because they knew that would happen.
I think probably so.
And
I think part of what went into their mindset was, when can we have the biggest splash? Rothenberg will be the craziest when the Giants win the division on the third. Playoff game coming up the next week. That's when we'll do it.
Shout out to you, Chris Canty, and Rick DiPietro. On the real, that's awesome.
Thank you. All right, let's get to some of the calls. 800-919-3776. And I would say this. If you're a Giants fan and you're not calling with excitement right now, you're a fraud. That's what I would say. If you're going to call with negativity right now, you, in fact, are a fraud. So let's call and let's be optimistic and let's have a great Giants conversation. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Spike in Jersey. I mean, this is one of my favorites. He's going to congratulate me. Spike in Jersey, you're first up on 98.7.
Well, good morning, and of course, congratulations. I never doubted that you could achieve the successes you have. That's why I always tell Mr. Butler, stay close. Stay close.
That's right. If he wants great success, he should follow in my shadow, yes?
Shadow, yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. At the right time of the day, your shadow's probably 100 foot long.
Yeah. Now, Spike, I imagine you're going to be up for the show, for the entirety of the show, 5 to 8, right?
Oh,
walking the dogs.
Sweet. Try and get in there the first call you take. I'm up at 4:40 every morning.
Beautiful. So this is ideal for you.
Right in my wheelhouse.
Beautiful.
With my wheelhouse guys. Listen, real quickly, I can't wait for the game tomorrow. Thanks, Felicia. I'm in a storm, so I can't wait for the Giant game tomorrow. I can't. I never saw Russell Wilson so confused. 7:13.
It was great. Watching that made me feel so good. And the Giants, you know what the amazing thing is, Spike? They don't even have, like, edge rushers. What happens when they get the right pieces on this defense?
Because the guys in the middle are so strong, and what they're doing, they're playing, I guess it's called containment. That's what it looks like to me. I don't know football like I know basketball, but this coach has fooled us all. You told me last week you didn't even know who he was.
No. What they have done, and Spike, as always, thanks for the phone call. What they have done with this team, with this, you know, band of characters, is remarkable. Because when you go through the Giants' defense, and Bradberry is a stud, and Logan Ryan has played really well, and Leonard Williams has played really well, and listen, Dexter Lawrence, and there's other pieces, but when you look at this defense, and Blake Martinez, who was so bad in that playoff game last year for the Packers against the Niners, the NFC Championship game, he has been so good, and he's a tackling machine. And that, to me, would probably be the one thing that I focus on the most, and hopefully doesn't, you know, look bad on me for saying it today and move forward. The Giants don't miss tackles. Like, if you watch them play, and they're not the best defense, but do you know what it's like to watch a team and they never miss a tackle? It really is. It's such a thing of beauty. Adam in Livingston. Adam, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave. So as a Jet fan, I am completely jealous of you guys. You guys have the exact blueprint. You have an amazing coach. Just imagine if you actually lost that game last year and had Chase Young. That would be insane. So I'm incredibly jealous. I'm happy for you. I have to say one thing. I'm happy that you got promoted to morning drive for you. I've been a fan of yours forever. I'm actually the official Yankee hater.
Oh, nice.
My Twitter from years ago.
Wonderful.
Welcome to that. Beautiful.
I just don't understand. And I know you all got to say the right thing. And I know the whole every guy towed the company line. But moving the three of you are so good together. And moving you guys to 5 in the morning to 8 in the morning, it just makes no sense to me. Again, I know I'm one person.
No, Adam, I'm gonna be honest. And Ty just said it minutes ago, do you understand the importance of morning drive?
I do, man.
It's the equivalent. Would you rather be? I mean, if you're on TV, would you rather be on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is great, and people watch, and people can love you at 3, or would you rather be on at 9 o'clock at night?
I hear you, and it makes. I get it from that respect and regard, but someone like me, you know, who's been, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, I'm just getting my day going. I know the other people are up at 6 and they're driving.
Most people, Adam, have their day rolling along by 6:30 in the morning now. Most people.
Dave, I wish you nothing. Honestly, man, I hope you guys freaking crush it. I love the three of you. I hope you're going to do Saturday still because I'm not going to really be able to listen to you during the week. But I love you.
You'll listen. And thanks for the call, Adam. Because you're not going to be able to help yourself. That first day, you'll set your alarm for a little earlier and you'll listen. And then you say, boy, that was so good. Because I think we can be edgier at that hour. Right? Morning drive, there's the expectation that there's a little edginess to it. What happens when Rick has a little edginess to him? Ooh, that'll be good. Jesse and Weehawken. Jesse, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
What's up, Jess? How you doing, man?
Congrats. I think I'm going to have to listen to the podcast now. I can't get up that early. Sorry. But
you make it. What time do you wake up? What time do you people wake up that 8 o'clock in the morning is too early for you?
I thought you started at 5.
Well, yeah. Well, okay. Listen, many people will listen at 5. If you start when you wake up, turn it on. 6:30, 6:45, 7, whatever it is, turn it on when you wake up.
Okay, I can do that. But anyway, I was just curious. Being the way this Giants season is going now, would it be a disappointment if they don't win the division, even though we had no expectations?
I think so. I think it'll be a disappointment. And I think it also depends how it plays out, right? You have four games left. You're tied with Washington. If you go 3-1 and Washington miraculously goes 4-0, if the Giants go 8-8, is that a disappointment? I don't think so. If you now regress and Daniel Jones looks bad and you're turning the football over and there are major issues, yes, then I think you have a major disappointment. But no, you won't be happy if the Giants don't win this division now. Of course not.
No, I'll be miserable.
As will I, as will all the Giants fans. And thanks for the call, Jess. 800-919-3776. So that's where we are. Our jumping-off point is the Giants. I got to spend a few minutes on the Jets in the 10 o'clock hour, and then we'll get to the NBA. And then, of course, it's Stump Rothenberg, and before you know it, R.J. Bell will be with us. So a lot going on. But I want to talk to the Giants fan. I mean, I can't tell you how many calls I've taken over the last 4 years of we stink, we're the laughingstock, Gettleman's awful, Shermer's awful, McAdoo's awful, this is awful, Eli's done, Jones is not the answer. This is your day. This is your time. The worm has turned. You've turned the corner. Let's enjoy it.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
No. You can't change the question mid-question.
You got it. You got it. Go for it.
I don't know the answer.
Come on. Come on.
I don't know that I know it. The only one I can think of is Hendricks, and I'm not sure that that's the answer.
Well, you know, if it was that or nothing, what would you go with?
Obviously, I'd go with that, but I'm unsure. I'm very unsure.
All right, we got to get an answer here, Dave.
Yeah, sometimes just go with your gut, Dave.
You guys are leading me down a bad path. Fine, Thomas Hendricks.
Boom!
Oh! I did not think that was correct. How about that?
They pushed you in the right direction.
They did push me in the right direction.
Jake said, go with your gut, because he knew the answer.
Well, he was talking for a minute. Is it Hendricks? Is it not Hendricks? Just go with it, my man.
Well, I didn't know. I mean, it's a brutal question.
You're
That's
smart.
A very difficult question.
And you got them both right, which shows your knowledge to the people, not just in sports, but in everything.
But we know this. Now, here's a great question. After Hendricks... No, I don't know that that's right. I'm not going to say it. I don't know that's right. All right, so what are we at? 4-3, 5-3?
What was that?
I thought I had something that I could go with, and I'm not sure that it's correct, so I don't want to say it.
Okay. We're five and three. We got to move quickly.
Five and three. All right, so you have a question?
I do have a question.
Yeah, we both have questions.
All right.
You want to go with me first?
I don't care. Whatever. Right.
So, three players in NBA history have swept the MVP honors for the season. And I'm talking about the All-Star Game MVP, the NBA MVP, and the NBA Finals MVP.
So, NBA Finals, All-Star Game?
And League MVP.
And League MVP.
All right. So, it's happened three times in NBA history. Can you tell me the first time it happened? So, the player. And if you want to give me the year, that would be preferred. But just give me the player.
I don't know that I know it. I mean, I'm thinking Michael because it just seems so easy. I don't know. For lack of taking up eons of time, I'll go with Michael Jordan.
So that would have been correct if I were asking for one of the three players, because he is. Michael Jordan did it in 96, but the first player to do so, right up your alley, Dave, Willis Reed in 1970. Willis. And the third player, the great Willis. I believe what? Walt Clyde Frazier had like 36 and 19 in that game seven against my Lakers. The third player was Shaq in 2000, won the All-Star Game MVP, League MVP, and NBA Finals MVP. Sure.
You know what I'd like for you?
What's that?
I'd like for you to go out of your comfort zone at some point and ask a non-NBA question.
No, this is what I do.
Jake, you're up.
All right, Dave. So last week I talked about Super Bowl 46, and not only did you give me the first score of the play, you ended up giving us the entire box score. This question is another Super Bowl question, but this time it does not involve our New York football Giants.
Okay.
So the question is, only one of the 20 most watched shows in United States television history was not the Super Bowl. Can you tell me what that one show was?
Now, I always thought it was MASH, but now I'd like to take a moment to think about that. So all time in the history of...
In the history of television broadcasting in the United States, 19 of the top 20 viewership was the Super Bowl, a different Super Bowl. However, one of the things was not a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's a good question. This, by the way, is the best question we've had of the day.
Save the best for last. That's what I do.
I do think this is a great question. I've always believed, and I haven't thought about this in a long time, I've always been under the impression that it was the farewell to MASH, which I believe was in 1983. So I will go with my gut instinct and what I've always thought the answer would be, and I will say MASH.
And that is correct.
And that is how you play Stump Rothenberg at the highest possible
6-4. Finished 6-4.
Okay. You know what? Not always going to be great. Above 500. The Jets look at that and drool at a 6-4 record.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Straight out of Vegas host RJ Bell. Good morning, RJ Bell.
Awesome. I got to tell you, though, Dave, I've been playing a little Sinatra on my show, but it's been Christmas Carol. He's got some good Christmas songs.
I mean, it's Frank Sinatra. Everything he does is pretty much great.
That's true. He even did some Beatles cover.
Have you heard who's going to Morning Drive on 98.7 ESPN?
No.
That's right. Our show, DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, Morning Drive, 98.7.
Awesome. So that's going to be from when to when? What hours?
5 a.m. to 8 a.m., starting on January the 4th.
Well, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you very much. All joking aside,
Morning Drive on ESPN in New York City.
That's big stuff, right?
It certainly is. I mean, this is the... No, I should know this, but I don't. What show was there before?
So we've adjusted the lineup a little bit. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin have been on from 6 to 8, or 6 to 9, and we've been
on from 9
to 11. Yeah, the national show. So we're going to take the 5 a.m., which was Gordon Damer, and we're going to take that 5 to 6, and then 6 to 8, and push it together for a conglomerate of 5 to 8 for the three of us.
And that's always the challenge in a city like New York, which is, they want to hear about New York. You know, when you're that big, you want to hear about your own stuff, and a national show just can't do that. So, I mean, it sounds like a great thing for everybody. It sounds like for my segment, I'm going to have to just stay up late the night before and catch an early one, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, because think about this. It's what? Is it always a three-hour difference in Vegas, or does it shift?
Yeah,
from two
it's
to
always
three.
Yeah.
It's always three. So for you to come on with us at, like, say, I don't know, 6:45 in the morning, that's 3:45? Is there a better chance you set
the... Yeah, it's going to have to be a 5:45 kind of baby, and I'll just stay up probably.
So can you stay, like, you can just physically stay up till 2:45? Because that's late.
Oh, yeah. Strong.
Also, no children, which makes you a stronger version of yourself.
Well, I got to tell you something. I have two nieces and one nephew, and after about 2 hours with them, I agree with you. Because the first hour's fun, and then after that, I need a break.
Wait till they never leave. Wait till they never, ever leave. Ever, ever.
I don't think that's gonna happen,
Dave. Yeah, no, it's great. Being a parent is the best job.
But that's awesome,
all right, so,
man. It really is, and congrats.
Thank you. I knew you'd appreciate it, because I know you're a savant of the radio industry, and I know you'd be very pleased for this show. So, yeah, big news.
It's funny, because people who that have no experience with it or no real insight, for them, everyone's the same. It's like, oh, that guy's on the radio. That's cool. But what you realize is that the stratas are really substantial, where certain things are like, man, that guy's got a good life. He's probably got a vacation house kind of thing. And then there's others that seem similar, but it's like, he's barely making a living. And, I mean, this being, New York Drive, and again, being on ESPN New York anytime is a hell of an accomplishment. But, I mean, this is really impressive, and maybe it's going to perk up Canty a little bit.
Yeah, I'm hoping so, because nothing says perk up more than a 3:30 in the morning wake-up call. So I imagine that it will absolutely do that. By the way, do you notice this?
You can always complain about it's too early, that kind of stuff.
Did you notice this? I say the phone line's awful. Then I tell you the news, and all of a sudden your phone line is crystal clear. Sounds like you're...
Well, listen, little hint there. Ty pressed, had a mixed-minus problem, and then he swapped something out. Maybe he needs to get up earlier.
Maybe he does, because clearly...
He's not moving to the prime time with you.
I'll leave that in your imagination. All right, so here's what I have to say to you. This is week 14 of the NFL, correct?
Yes.
Guess who's still alive in Survivor?
Oh, I was thinking about that. So you weren't tempted on Seattle?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I'm a Giants fan, so no. And I wanted to save Seattle to this week. I went with a clean, easy Miami pick last week.
I got to tell you, I mean, it's all coming up, Dave, right now, because I think in Vegas they're down to about 5% of the original participants. So how's your numbers?
There's still a lot of people left, which concerns me. And I guess what happened?
Not percentage-wise.
No, it started with over 3,000, and it's down to 220.
Yeah, so, I mean, if it was 150, it'd be 5%. So, like, 7.5%.
And if the Jets don't hit on that, the Raiders don't hit on the miraculous touchdown last week, it would be 147 people right now.
I mean, you had a different opinion about the zero blitz.
Oh, I couldn't believe they did that. I mean, it was, honestly, RJ, I was saying this earlier, if I walked past my kids playing Madden and they ran that same play, I would think something was wrong.
You know what's funny, though? And listen, I don't know. I mean, I know about the bounty gate, and I know that when he was with the Browns, he seemed to be looking for his own thing and, an ego guy. But that said, I've heard 20 times in the past, if you just blitz, they won't have time to even get to the end zone. So I'm not saying it was right or not, but wouldn't you agree that's been a conversation?
RJ, they left Henry Ruggs in man-on-man coverage.
No, I hear you. I don't think it's a zero blitz, but I do think bringing an extra guy, I think bringing in an extra two people is interesting, because you still have a lot of people back there, but they don't have time.
But they didn't. They had nobody back there. RJ,
yeah,
he fell for a head-and-shoulders fake at the 10-yard line. How?
it might be Trevor Lawrence style. It might be the best play ever, though.
Yeah, I guess in the end it could be. But my God, watching that game, it was mind-boggling. So let's quickly, you agree, right? Seattle is my pick for the week in Survivor.
I mean, it's hard to, again, the thing that we or you want to do, and again, you've been great at it. You don't want to win this week. You want to win the contest. So who would be the other choice?
I mean, I'll bring up where I'm at right now. You know what we'll do? I'll bring up the actual pool, and we can kind of run through my overall situation. So let me do that.
Yeah, well, that'll be a good conceit to get into the games.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, so this week I have, I mean, running through the games, I have Seattle, which absolutely feels like my pick. I could take Tennessee on the road in Jacksonville, but I don't love it nearly as much, and I'm thinking about playing Tennessee in a couple weeks when they host Detroit. I could take, nothing else really jumps out at me. I mean,
yeah,
and
remember, the only time that you wouldn't play Seattle is if they had a game in week 15, 16, or 17 that was more appealing, and there was a good alternative this week, but it doesn't seem like there is, so it does seem pretty obvious.
I mean, I'll tell you who I could take. Denver or Carolina, I'm not taking that. I could take Houston, Chicago, I'm not taking that. I could take Dallas or Cincy, I'm not taking that. Tennessee, Jacksonville is intriguing, and I'm thinking Tennessee, but I think they pale in comparison to Seattle. Arizona, the Giants, I'm not doing. Minnesota on the road in Tampa, I'm not doing. Raiders at home against Indy, I'm not doing. Atlanta on the road against the Chargers, I'm not doing. Philadelphia against New Orleans, I'm not doing. Washington against San Francisco, I'm not doing. Detroit hosting Green Bay is ridiculous. And Cleveland over Baltimore. So that's it. I really have Seattle or Tennessee as my two choices.
Yeah, and I mean, unless Seattle's got a super easy game the following three, it's a no-brainer.
But could it be easier than what they have this week against the Jets?
No, I mean, here you go. And that's something I've seen this year, is when you have a team or two that are especially bad, you're pretty much trying to follow them around, but just fading them.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and then next week.
I do have one question, though.
Yeah.
I asked you about last week. You go, oh, no, I didn't possibly have, you know, I'm a Giants fan. But then it's like.
No, it's I know it's dumb.
You're fading the Jets with no problem.
Well, I'm a Giants fan. I'm not a Jets fan. Yeah. And I know that rationally you don't want to, you know, put emotion into this, but I physically couldn't go against the Giants now. I wouldn't do it.
Well, every time this, you know, I'm a Steelers fan, is every time, I grew up an hour from Pittsburgh, is every time Pittsburgh makes a Super Bowl, which is fairly often, I put usually about a $300 bet against them and on the money line. Because I call it an emotional hedge.
Right, so that way, if they were to lose that game, at least you get something out of it.
Yeah, can I go to the gentleman's club, get a steak, you know, Chuck Zito style?
I see your way. So next week, I'm looking ahead. I have Tennessee hosting Detroit, and I have Arizona hosting Philadelphia. Those are probably my two favorite games next week.
Oh, I mean, Philly's that kind of team that can step up. Now, we'll see how Hurts looks, and I actually like the Saints in that game. You want to start there?
Yeah, let's start there. So this week, Saints and the Eagles. So go ahead, walk us through it.
Well, let me ask you a question. If I said to you, it's a given fact that the Saints...
I got to be honest, by the way, RJ, you're really terrific today. Like, there are some weeks that I feel like you're going through the motions and you're not great.
That's just not true.
But I don't feel like that this week. I feel like this week... And I think, you know what I think it stems from? When you heard that I was going to morning drive. Because we know how you are. We know how you are about kissing the ring. And when you go on Stephen A.'s show, oh, it's Stephen A. and Mr. Stephen A. and Mr. Michael K. And, like, you love people in power. And you now look at me and say, Rothenberg, morning drive, I better step up my game. Is that accurate?
I mean, it is. It is. Not that I need to step up my game, but I'm more impressed by you. I will say this, though. When you guys moved, what did you have? You had like an hour 15 from like 9:15 to 11 or something? I didn't hear much about the move at that point. It wasn't like the focus of the show.
Well, nor should it be. I mean, we were disappointed that we went from 10 to 1 to 9 to 11, but now we're stepping up in class.
Exactly.
It's like I'm not. You know, you're dating Barbara Streisand. You're not screaming from the rooftops.
It makes me wonder, though, that it seems like they're. You know how when a kid does something bad, but he somehow gets a reward, you worry about the connections he's making.
Of course.
You following?
Of course.
It makes it seem like with Canty and how he got all disgruntled, it seemed, on air, now he's being affirmed by getting this prime slot. Maybe it's a mistake.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe Canty's ego is going to go wild.
Canty's going to be terrific.
He will be if his attitude is correct.
You're funny.
But let me ask you this question. Why would the Eagles start Hurts here? This is probably the toughest assignment for a quarterback of the season for the Eagles. Certainly at the end of the year, it's the toughest. Why do it now?
I think it's to save Carson Wentz from himself.
I agree. I think Hurts is a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, two things. A, I think it's to save Wentz for himself, and B, it's now we can calm down the conjecture of how awful he is to let them see what Jalen Hurts is.
Which the theory is Hurts is going to look horrible.
You would have to think.
So, because they only have they owe $40 million to Wentz the next 2 years.
Yes.
They can't cut him by all accounts.
No.
So, it feels like they're saying if we make him, Wentz, look relatively okay because Hurts is so bad, people will pipe down a little bit. And if that's the case, isn't this a sweet spot to play the Saints? And I'm going to give an early, almost like the Oscars where they have the best actress or best supporting actress early.
Right.
I'm going to give an early best bet. And this won't be the best bet. This would be a best bet.
Now, just to interrupt you, the spread is 7 at the moment, and the game is in Philadelphia.
And we're going with a team total, so you can bet Philadelphia will score more or less than 18 points. We're going under Philly, because what we want to do is abstract out and isolate the handicap that we like best. I don't have a strong opinion on Taysom Hill and how he's going to do against the Eagles. But I do have a strong opinion on how Hurts is going to do against the Saints. I want to go under there, isolate it, under 18.
All right. So under 18 for Philadelphia against New Orleans.
And any place that's pretty much taking bets will have that come either today. They should have it. If not, tomorrow morning, game day.
Okay. Do you have any feeling with the actual number of Saints getting 7?
I would certainly go with the Saints. I mean, I think Sean Payton, we say right now, you know, Belichick and then Andy Reid, and then we got the young guns, right? Shanahan gets a ton of respect, and obviously McVay. I think, and let's be candid, Joe Judge might be on the way. I mean, he's certainly not there yet, but it looks good so far. But to me, Sean Payton is on that first list. And, you know, 8-0 with a backup. I mean, things that even Belichick isn't doing. And thus, I'm inclined to play the Saints. But I don't – if you really think about what any bet is, any spread bet, you're betting – the team you're betting's offense against the other team's defense and the team you're betting's defense against the other – there's really two matchups. Special teams is pretty random. So, I mean, there's certain teams that do well every year, special teams, the Patriots, Baltimore, et cetera. But in general, it's fairly random. So you're really looking at those two matchups. Well, I love the Saints' defense against Hurts. I'm neutral on the Saints' offense against the Eagles' D. Thus, if I had to bet the side, it would be the Saints because I get this handicap I like. But this other bet, under 18, isolates it.
Okay. All right. So you lean Saints giving the 7 if you wanted to bet the actual
yes.
The actual number on the game.